Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
This morning, the Padres wrap up their series in Miami against the Marlins with an early game. And Bill Center is back in studio for the first time since meeting his heroes, Patrick and SpongeBob.
Bill Center, crotchety old man that he is actually a very big SpongeBob fan because he watches it with his granddaughter. All the time. It's like their favorite pastime together.
Bill, of course, is joined in studio by Jesse Agler. And unfortunately, no Patrick or SpongeBob.
No Krabby Patties. That's, I'm a little disappointed here.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill.
Crotchety old man that he is.
Center.
You're still smiling ear to ear a week after meeting SpongeBob and Patrick the Starfish.
Yeah.
I like it. You see what Blooper did there, by the way? He took words I had said at different points over the last 2 years.
And stuck them in.
Right, so it sounded like I was calling you a crotchety old man. Right. There's no way I actually said that. That's editing magic. I would never say that about you, Bill Center. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. We're at the AMR studio at Petco Park. It is very early in the morning. It's 8:31 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The Padres are in Miami. They'll play a game against the Marlins coming up at 10:10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Yesterday, last night, they won again. And the wins, they sort of keep on coming right now. This Padre team is having maybe as good of a stretch as they have all season. Certainly one of their
absolutely.
Best stretches.
Yeah. The next best stretch was a 10-5 to start the season. I mean, right now they're 12-4 since 2 days before the All-Star break. That's a nice run.
At the trade deadline on the show on Friday, we said, all right, let's say – they got to get to 88 wins, you know, to make the playoffs. And that's an arbitrary number, to be
right.
fair. But it's about what you expect. And maybe it's 85, and maybe it's 91 or 92. And we said, all right, they're going to have to get to 88 wins. And in order to do that, down the stretch, they're going to have to go 39-21. Well, they're 2-0 so far since the trade deadline. So, obviously, you got a pretty good hill to climb. But so far, a couple of nice steps upward.
Right. The only thing is one of the teams they got to catch are the Giants, and they're 13-3 since they're the only team in baseball that has a better record over the last 16 games than the Padres.
I don't worry about that stuff right now. I'm more concerned about the win total
right.
At this juncture. Now, look, if we get into mid-September, right. I think it's a different conversation. But you're right. I mean, it's a little frustrating because you try and look at the standings every day, and you go, freaking Giants won again. Right now, it's about accumulating wins. And then you start worrying about who's losing
right.
when this thing becomes a little bit more serious. And we're not there yet. Look, the first step, and we've said this too many times this year, the first step for this team is getting to 500.
Right.
And right now, they're as close as they have been since the middle of June.
Right. And they are playing, and you cannot make the argument that they're not playing very, very well right now.
All right.
Defense,
so,
everything.
No, sorry about that. Yesterday, a 5-3 win over the Marlins. They are 51-53, as Bill just said, 12-4 in the last 16 games. Look, we'll talk more about the trade deadline. You lit the internet on fire after the trade deadline with a tweet you made. We'll certainly talk about all of that. We got a lot to get to. Today's a fun one. James Shields and Jose Fernandez,
right.
The two aces. Everybody knows Fernandez has never lost at Marlins Park. He's 15-0 with an ERA just over 1. In his career at Marlins Park. So we'll talk about all of that. But these wins, they are what matter right now. They are important. And yesterday was another fun one, another solid one. And I think for me, one of the coolest things right now, Bill, is that the guys that are leading the way are the Solartes and the Venables and the Jerkos and the Norris in this recent stretch. And I'm not trying to discount Kemp or Upton, both of whom have had huge hits,
right.
you know, at times. Kemp had 2 yesterday with an RBI. Upton obviously had the dramatic rain home run at Citi Field the other day. But if you sort of look at the body of work in the last few days, it's some of the other guys, quote unquote, that are really contributing.
Absolutely. Well, you got Venable and Solarte at the top of the order to start with. And earlier in the year, one of the problems are, since Myers has been down, the top of the order hasn't been getting on base. Well, these two guys, the last 6 games that they've been paired, 1-2, each has got a hit in every game.
Every one.
Right. And every one of the last six games where they've been paired at the top, they've got hits. So they're on base for Kemp and Upton to drive in runs, which is huge. And Solarte, when you go back, he is the hottest hitter over the last 16 games. He started 15 of those 16 at third base, and he leads the team in hitting over those 16 games.
So, he put us on cycle watch yesterday, too. He doubled and tripled in his first two at-bats.
Exactly. Cycle watch. If you're on cycle watch as a Padre fan, as you well know, it's like, oh, man. It's never happened.
By the way, has anybody noticed we're blooper showing the highlight of the triple from yesterday? I noticed it all weekend. That Health Sun advertisement, whatever Health Sun is, in right center field at Marlins Park, I keep thinking it's a Charger sign. It's blue and yellow,
right.
And they've got this sun like logo type thing that almost looks like the lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt.
It keeps
yeah.
throwing me off. Every time somebody hits the ball to right field the last couple of days, I'm like, why is there a Chargers? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Health Sun, whatever that is.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
As a Miamian, do you like that ballpark?
So I've got very strong feelings about that ballpark, and I've been to it several times,
right.
obviously. Putting aside the way it was, you know, financed and everything that took place there, and there are a lot of people very upset about the way that thing was handled and the way that deal went down. I kind of split it up into two things, outside and inside. Outside, and I don't know nothing about architecture, but from an outside standpoint, looking at that place, it's beautiful. I think it's a fascinating piece of architecture. I was really, again, I don't know architecture, but it's architecturally impressive to me.
And it fits very well in with what's around it, too. I mean,
it's a bunch of old houses. I mean, it's in the middle of a residential neighborhood,
right,
so that's a little weird.
They've got the club to the one side of the ballpark. They've done a nice job of that, and I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Outside, I love the building.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking place,
right.
and the roof. They've got the big tracks, and it kind of rides off on that. They made that look neat. That's an easy thing that can look ugly because it's
right.
sort of tough to do to have the roof sliding over. You know, like Arizona and Houston, they kind of look like warehouses.
Right,
they're just boxes.
Well. Arizona looks like, I call it the hangar.
Yeah, exactly. Like a warehouse or a big airplane hangar. And they just sort of have a roof that closes over it. You know, this one, architecturally, is extremely impressive. It's modern. It's sleek. It's a good-looking building. Inside, you know, aside from the bright green, which, by the way, doesn't look as bright in person as it does on TV for whatever reason. But, you know, the blue seats and the bright green walls, there's a lot of exposed concrete, which I don't like personally from an aesthetic standpoint. It looks unfinished.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. It's inside. It's too big. They'll shrink it. They've got to. The outfield is gigantic. The walls are forever away, and they're all like 20 feet high. I'm exaggerating. But, like, I don't know. I don't love the way it plays. I think it's too big. You know, the home run sculpture in left center field, that's its own conversation. But I would have done some things differently inside, I guess is what I'm saying to answer your question.
I totally, because from the outside, I totally agree with you. It looks beautiful from the outside. And when you get inside, it sort of looks like an amusement park. And I've always been sort of surprised. Why would you do that to this really nice-looking building?
Yeah, it doesn't match.
Right.
It doesn't. Like,
no,
the inside doesn't match the outside.
That's exactly right. It's like it's two different ideas, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, Marlins Park. One of the things we were talking about there, though, was Solarte setting the table and Venable setting the table. No, it's a great aside. And the success that they're having in those situations. And sort of one of the things to come out of that is this lineup consistency. And it's
right.
going to continue again today where you're seeing pretty much the same 1-8 every day. Not exactly, but for the most part, this is the most consistency we've seen in the batting order this year at any point for the Padres. And that is a great chicken or the egg conversation.
Right.
Are they winning because the lineup has been consistent? Which is what some people might say. Or because they're winning, the manager is able to make it
I
a
think
consistent
because
lineup.
Because they're winning, the manager keeps it the same.
Okay.
And it's been, like you said, it's
so
been
is that
pretty
chicken
much,
or egg?
That's egg.
Okay, that's egg.
Right.
You're an egg guy.
Right. But it, like you said, yeah, it's been very consistent, and now you've got guys feeding off of each other. I mean, Kemp and Upton sort of know. They get this feeling that there are going to be guys on base in front of them. That's Venable and Solarte having the great games at the top.
And that makes a big difference.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about yesterday's win in particular, 5-3 over the Marlins, and we'll get into all of that. We'll also get to your questions and your comments on Twitter. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag to jump on board on Twitter, PadresSH. Questions, comments, etc. throughout the entire show. We'll throw those up there. But we do have a little bit of breaking news from Miami. Pat Murphy and the front office doing the injury update before batting practice time today at Marlins Park. And so it's time for the AMR Injury Report. Second baseman Corey Spangenberg has missed a good amount of time ever since that takeout slide here at Petco Park at second base from Nick Ahmed of the Diamondbacks. Will begin a rehab assignment tomorrow with the AA San Antonio Missions. And so Spangenberg, who is with the team in Miami, has been cleared to open up a rehab assignment, and he is going to be back on the field.
Good. And one of the toughest injuries, bone bruises, just scare the heck out of me. They take a long time to go away. And I would imagine that this rehab assignment is going to be more towards the 10 to 15 day than just a couple days down there. He's got to get a swing back. He has to run.
Yeah.
Which is his game.
That's a big part of his game, exactly.
Right. He's got to run, and he hasn't been able to do that. That was one of the last things. Even when he was taking ground balls, he couldn't go lateral, and they didn't let him hit because they didn't want him torquing the knee.
Didn't want him twisting around.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So it's going to be – this is not going to be 3 or 4 games and back.
Okay, but either way, it's a big step in the right direction.
Huge step forward.
For Corey Spangenberg. And the funny thing is, right, he was pretty much the everyday second baseman when he got hurt.
Right.
You know, Jerko was down at AAA at the time, and we just talked about the contributions that Jed is having right now for this big league team. And this is why we always say we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Tim Fedorovich getting designated for assignment yesterday, another great example. Everybody, the writers and the fans and the media, everybody is saying, right, oh, well, you're going to get it today. I'm sure it was asked, well, when Corey comes back, what do you do at second base? And I'm sure Pat Murphy or whoever said something along the lines of, well, we'll see where we're at at that moment in time. We keep trying to predict these things. We keep trying to get in front of it. It's an exercise in futility. Don't do it. Let's see when the guy is actually ready to play. Let's see what happens. I don't want it to happen. Maybe Jerko gets hurt between now and then. So why today are we trying to answer that question? We shouldn't. I know someone's going to tweet it. Hey, at Padres Central. Hey, at Jesse Agler. Oh, what are they going to do at second base when Spangenberg gets back? Let's see what's happening with the team when that happens.
I always like to talk about all the options rather than say this is what's going to happen.
You're a good reporter.
Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, but like with the Fedorovich, I mean, a couple days ago, I mentioned, hey, when he comes off that, when he's finished, there's some things, and one of the possibilities were you DFA him because you don't have a spot. You're happy where you are. Or you could have kept 3 catchers and played Norris some more at first. But no, they decided that, okay, we really don't have a spot here for him.
Exercise in futility, trying to predict these things prior to the proper time. All right, so Spangenberg going tomorrow with the San Antonio Missions, the Padres' AA affiliate, to begin a rehab assignment. That's the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. All right, as I said, on the other side, we'll get to some of the tweets. Also, talk more about yesterday's win over the Marlins. And we'll hear from Pat Murphy. He's having a good time, and he is not alone. This Padre ball club right now is enjoying themselves, and why not? Maybe their best stretch of games over the course of the entire season so far. How about that? All right, how about this? Dreams can be made to come true. Did you know that? It's absolutely true. If you're a Compadres kid, we've got kids who watch.
Right.
You've got an opportunity to play catch on the outfield grass following the day game this coming Sunday, a week from today, against the Phillies. Families can line up at the park at the park at the end of the 8th inning and then have a game of catch out on the field. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Compadres kids, catch on the field after next Sunday's game against Philadelphia.
I think that's one of the best things there
absolutely
is.
Absolutely.
To be able to go down the field, say you were on a major league field. I remember when I was a kid, even a chance to go down on a minor league field and play catch would have been great.
Under 100%. By the way, the last 3 tweets that have come in. For discussion's sake, who goes away when Spangy is ready to be activated? The next tweet, how about Myers? And then after that, what are we going to do when Spangy gets back? At least one of those people is messing with me.
Right.
The last one, Kevin. Kevin's having some fun with me. But the other guys, I think Paul, Mike, like this, and I'm sure they sent those before I just went on my rant.
Right.
But like, let's wait and see.
Right.
Let's see what's happening when Spangenberg's ready. If he's ready in 3 days, that's different than if he's ready in a week. You never know what's going to happen between now and then.
I got one last week saying, when Spangenberg comes back, does he play shortstop?
We'll see. But probably not. They don't like him at shortstop.
No.
We know that. He's not a shortstop. If he were, we would have seen him there a lot already at this point.
Yeah. You think?
Maybe they try it again because they don't want it. Look, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going down that road. I'm not breaking my own rule. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. A Sunday morning with Bill Center, Jesse Agler, having some fun. I'm not doing it, not falling into the trap, not jumping ahead of myself. Corey Spangenberg will begin his rehab assignment tomorrow with AA San Antonio. Everybody wants to know, what do we do when he gets back? We'll see where they're at. You never know what's going to happen between now and then. We'll see. It's not a cop-out. It's an exercise in futility. And I choose not to use my time on exercises in futility. It's like how Blooper doesn't use his time on exercise. I don't use my time on exercise in futility.
Whoa.
Same kind of thing. All right, hey, last night, yesterday, 5-3 win over the Marlins. We talked about the consistency. We talked about the guys leading the way. Certainly got to talk about the pitching as well. Despaña goes into the seventh inning. He allows the three runs. Kind of ran out of steam there. They go to the bullpen. And Sean Kelly. And then in his first Padre appearance, Mark Zepchinski comes on, and he is our firehouse sub of the game. His first appearance in a San Diego uniform. Hey, first and third, one out, and the lefty comes on, and he does his thing. How fun was this?
That was great. I mean, I like having a left-hander in the bullpen, and this is one thing that this club has lacked, and I'm just I liked what I saw yesterday, and if he's a situational guy, great.
And that's what he's been. If you look at the appearances and the innings with Cleveland, I mean, it's like, I don't remember the exact number, 40 appearances, 20 innings, you know, something like that.
Right.
So usually he is coming in to get a batter or two like he did yesterday. And look, we had obviously, you know, we knew a little bit about this guy. We've seen him in spring training. We've seen him over the course of his career. But one thing that was not on the scouting report, that second out with D. Gordon, the vertical. Nice vertical from Zepchinski. He can get up. He can get up. He can field his position. So that was another nice little bonus. You got to see that from him yesterday,
right,
too.
The leap.
The leap off the mound. Nice job there. So Mark Zepchinski in his first Padre appearance, our Firehouse Subs, sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations. Check them out in Point Loma, Escondido, and Encinitas. Then, of course, in the eighth, it was Benoit, beep, 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 Kimbrel in the ninth, boop, 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 bouncing back nicely from the blown save on Friday night. And more times than not this year, those guys have gotten the job done in a really, really good way.
You know, there's a strange stat that for a closer, the Padres are 4-0 in games that Kimbrel has given up a home run.
Right. Well, and that was one of those things earlier the year, right? We kept saying, you know, the ERA for closers is a little bit of a weird one, right?
Right.
Look at the ERA in save situations. Look at the saves in attempts. Now what, two blown saves?
Two blown saves. 31 out of 33 is a very good percentage.
I'll take that.
Right.
I'll take that. And he has gotten helped out, you know, a couple of times. There was two great games, by the way. Friday night, you know, coming back in the 11th. And then that weird game in Arizona back in May, the Dorn game. Danny Dorn, that AAA lifer for the Diamondbacks, got Kimbrel. But then the Padres came back and won that one. So that's kind of a little bit what you're talking about. I'm taking my chances with Craig Kimbrel every night of the week. Like, there's
Dorn,
no doubt.
Danny Dorn just got El Paso last night. So that's
did he again?
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Gosh, that guy.
he's got it against the Padres.
He had like never had a career home run. He's been in the minors for like 1,000 games. All right, here we go. I mean, Blooper's reliving it. This is the big double, I think it was, into the corner to tie the game back in May. Yeah, he'd like been a 1,000-game minor leaguer. Like, who's Danny Dorn? He comes up with this crazy hit against Kimbrel with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and then he got DFA'd like the next day or 2 days later. He got sent down, optioned, I don't know. And then like a night after that, he beat the El Paso team.
And he did it again.
And then he did it again last night, you're telling me.
Yeah.
Look at you up on the AAA stuff the day after. I'm impressed. All right, so Pat Murphy obviously is enjoying himself right now. We mentioned it a couple of times. This team winning more consistently now in this stretch, and it's a short stretch, small sample size. I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. But they are having their best mathematical stretch of the season. And leadership is a part of that, right? And it's easier to look at these things and notice these things when the ball club is winning. Here's what Pat Murphy said after the game last night about leadership and what's going on there.
Yeah, I think the leadership on the field has committed to going about it a certain way, and I think that's been the difference. You know, the staff puts the guys in the right places. The staff has been doing a great job, and I'm witnessing a team coming together and starting to believe a little bit, and You know, we got a lot in front of us. We're a long way from being, you know, where we want to be. But, you know, it's kind of cool to see it, you know.
I like that. That's nice and measured.
Right.
It's like the exact right tone. I'm enjoying it. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Long way to go.
You know, one of the things I like right now about the Padres is they're getting runs across no matter what. Two sacrifice flies yesterday, Kemp and Upton. We've seen a couple runs score on infield grounders. I like the fact that they're just getting in with runners in scoring position. I mean, at third with less than two out, they're finding a way to get those guys in now. And early in the season, that was a big problem.
Yeah, no question about it. And Randy, whenever he's here, he likes to talk about, you know, what the runners in scoring position, you know, stat is at the bottom of the box score every day.
Nobody knows that more than Randy.
He's big on that.
He didn't get a lot of that help.
No, he didn't. Not at all. All right, so we talked earlier about, you know, lineup consistency and how that's kind of a chicken or egg thing. Having fun, also a chicken or egg thing, right? Are they having fun because they're winning, or are they winning because they're having fun? I've got my opinion. You've got yours. I'm sure everybody has theirs. But there is no question, and listen to what Murph said about this last night, that these guys are enjoying themselves right now.
Anybody that's around it can tell that it's, you know, the security guard from Miami told me, I've never seen anything like this. And he said, you guys, his quote was, you could be, if they do Major League 4, you guys could be Major League 4. We're having fun, and the guys are believing. They know what they need to do. We still make mistakes, and we're still concentrated on correcting those mistakes, but we're having fun.
As a big Major League fan, I've blocked out the fact that there was even a 2 and a 3.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's – this is going to sound stupid. I like that compliment coming from a security guy. You guys could be Major League 4.
Yeah,
I love that.
You're having fun. I mean, and security guys know. They see you come and go from the clubhouse to the field. They know when you're having fun.
They do.
And I think that's hugely important.
Absolutely. Hugely
right.
important.
Especially in August. We're into the dog days. If you're a major league player and you're having fun at this time of the year, it says something about you.
I like the way you're thinking. Well, winning is a part of that,
right.
And that goes
and
back.
Winning is a huge part of it.
Well, that goes back to chicken and the egg, which right. is I'm going to break the Guinness Book of World Records for most times saying chicken or the egg in a one-hour
right.
period
well,
of time.
Well, I think that you have fun when you're winning. You don't have fun when you're losing.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's kind of that simple. But are they winning because they're having fun?
Well, now they might be.
Okay.
But you got to start winning before you have fun.
So you're going egg, chicken, egg.
Right.
All three.
Right.
I get you.
I'm looking for one of those layers, that egg, chicken, egg.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be a farmer.
Yeah, I could be.
You know, Dan, I appreciate this. You know, we were talking about earlier with the what do we do when Spangenberg gets back, all that. Not bad. He goes, well, what do we do when Brandon Morrow comes back?
Yeah, right.
His name is actually at hashtag troll. So he knows what
yeah,
he's doing.
He's
I appreciate that, Dan. That's a good effort. That's not bad. Unfortunately, Brandon Morrow has had a setback. He's getting a second opinion. That's not a promising sounding situation.
No, so we're at least, I mean, even if they say it's just the inflammation again, give it some rest. I mean, now you're back. You're now into September before he's even ready.
Yeah.
And once you get to September, there's that shutdown period of that just doesn't make any sense.
All right. We'll see.
I'm doubting that we're going to see him or Johnson.
Yeah. I would say at this point it's not looking particularly likely, which is the reality. All right. We'll take a break, come back. I got some tweets coming in that are not trolly and are real questions, including one about the shortstop position that I think is a very good question. We'll talk about all of that. Also, we'll continue to get a little bit into the trade deadline stuff. I said this earlier. Bill lit the internet on fire after the trade deadline with a tweet that he put out there. You enraged Buster Olney.
Right.
And anytime you can –
good friend of mine, by the way.
I know. And so anytime you can enrage him, I say we got to talk about it. We'll get to that as well. Sip in style at one of Petco Park's newest events, Cocktail Fest. The mixing returns on this Friday night, August 7th, beginning at 4:30 p.m. Stay for a summer night of baseball as the Padres take on the Phillies at 7, so get your tickets at Padres.com/party. Padres.com/party. Take a break, come back. Your questions and Bill lighting the internet on fire right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio at Petco Park, the Padres are at Marlins Park, some several thousand miles away, in Miami. And Bill Center is here as we get ready for the final game of the series. Padres going for the sweep after the 5-3 win yesterday. I'll talk a little bit more about the pitching matchup today, which is a sexy pitching matchup. James Shields and Jose Fernandez. But I want to get to some tweets. So let's do that. And we're going to begin it with Kevin, who's usually trolling about one particular thing. That's all I'm going to say. He's usually trolling us on one particular thing. But he chimes in with a sincere comment. As a former security guard myself, I like that Pat Murphy chats up the stadium staff. Murph is a regular guy, and I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
Absolutely regular guy. I mean, and but a lot of people don't see that managers and stuff like that, the guys that you see at the gate all the time, you have conversations
all
with
the
them.
Time.
Right. I mean, it's just
not just Pat Murphy.
Not just Pat Murphy, but a lot of people in the game, because you always are talking to the security guys, the guys at the gate, the ushers on the field. You bump into them. So it's a really not an unusual, but Pat Murphy, as you said, is just a regular guy.
Hey, Blooper, can we see that lineup again? That was very relevant to what we were talking about. Nice job. There you go. That's good. We'll get to that eventually.
Okay.
We'll talk about the lineup.
Did he flip that up while I was talking?
Yeah, just in the middle of your thing about Pat Murphy.
Right?
He threw the lineup
just
on the screen.
The lineup up.
For no apparent reason. What what were you thinking there? How did that fit in?
He makes the lineup? I don't know.
He's got no clue.
He makes the lineup.
He's got no clue.
Are you saying you did it intentionally?
No, it was an accident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, Blooper.
When he makes a mistake, his head lights up like Rudolph's
It's
nose.
Incredible. The entire face, bright red.
Bright red.
No poker face whatsoever.
No. That's right. We were talking before. He could not play poker.
I would love to play poker with Blooper.
I want if there's a four table with Blooper playing poker, I want in. You
Everybody
want in.
Sits down.
All we need is a fourth.
Anybody. It doesn't matter. And I don't know who's going to win, but
I know who's going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, oh man. You're right over there?
I don't know how to play poker, so even
better. We'll teach you. Don't worry about it. It's real easy. Teach you everything you need to know.
He tips off everything he does.
He's not the most slick kid in the world. No, definitely not. All right, Betty is up next. We were talking about Mark Zepchinski earlier. Scrabble is the nickname the guy has had most of his career because his name is a lot of letters. Mudd actually did a very nice job with this on the telecast last night. He's like, hey, remember, there's two Z's in Zepchinski, so you would need to use one of the blank tiles if you're actually playing Scrabble. Then, of course, the cranky people on the internet were going, well, actually, it's a proper noun. It's a name, so you couldn't play it in Scrabble, making it far too literal of a conversation. Neither here nor there. Betty does not like Scrabble as a nickname. She wants to go with Zeppy.
Zeppy?
You like that?
No. I want to make it iChart, too.
All right, because back in the 80s.
Doug Gooch.
Yeah, they called him iChart. How did you spell Gooch?
G-S-O-W-D-Z.
Gooch.
Gooch.
G-O-O-C-H. That's how it sounded.
Right.
And so they called him iChart, which is a great nickname.
Right.
That is a great nickname. But she wants to go with Zeppy.
Nah.
You're not buying Zeppy? All right.
iChart,
Blooper,
too.
How do you feel about Zeppy?
Scrabble.
He's going with Scrabble.
Right. Scrabble's a heck of a nickname.
Yeah. No, it's a good nickname.
Right.
And there are not a lot of guys that could use it. Sean is up next. And I think this is a very good question involving the shortstop situation. Where in the world is Clint Barmas? Also donut of choice. I'll take the second part first for Bill. Your donut of choice.
Glazed.
All right. You're a glazed guy, traditionalist. So where in the world is Clint Barmas? And providing the context here, a couple of weeks ago, Pat Murphy said, hey, Clint Barmas is going to be the everyday shortstop. And Alexi will spell him as the sort of super utility guy. And I feel like Amarista started pretty much every game since.
Right. About the last two, the next to the last day they were in a homestand, Pat Murphy said that Amarista's back in the mix. You might see Barmas play a little bit more against right-handers than he had before, but it's pretty much a lefty-righty thing again. And ever since he said that, poor Alexi has not had a hit. So, but now we're back to the platoon at short.
We are.
Right.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
Right.
It's just a lefty-righty thing at this point. All
right,
that's a pretty straightforward explanation. Pretty straightforward explanation. All right, you know that lineup that Blooper was so excited to get to?
Yes.
A couple of minutes ago. Let's put that up there and do our supercuts.
See how long it takes to actually find it.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. There the Padres starting all lineup right. is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, very familiar. Venable Solarte at the top. Kemp Upton Alonso in the middle. Norris Jerko Amarista. And the pitcher, James Shields.
No changes because we're rolling.
Chicken or the egg.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's it. Consistency in the lineup once again. We're on board with this. We get this.
Right.
We understand it. We
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. We sign off on it. Not right. that Pat Murphy's asking us to sign off, but we do.
Guys at the top are getting on. Guys in the middle are driving people in. And the guys at the bottom are contributing like they haven't before.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
So who's got the first pick today?
Who's got the – Blooper raises his hand, which
I
means
do.
Probably you do because okay. he gets things
right.
wrong regularly.
Yeah. I do.
We're going to give Bill the first pick today in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Do you have the updated standings, by the way? Is that something you have access to?
Yes.
Blooper versus the couch in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
I think he's fudging on this.
There's no question that it's possible. He controls the standings. He types it in.
Right.
Nobody else really pays attention.
Right.
But right now it looks like a tie between Blooper and the piece of furniture.
And he claims he's got the first pick today.
Well, we're going to give it to you. Whether he does or not, he's forfeited it thanks to his earlier mistake. You made a miscue, and you're going to pay for it. This is like, you know, I'm doing like a Roger Goodell here. I'm just like arbitrarily taking away a team's draft pick.
You're going to throw his cell phone in the toilet then?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not. I am not going to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But we're going to give Bill the first pick in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. You just saw the starting lineup. Who do you like today to contribute?
Today, I think it's a pitch. I think this is a pitching duel. I think James Shields has to come up huge. I'm going to take Shields because he's got to pitch well today.
Okay, so he's taking the starting pitcher, James Shields. Blooper, who you got?
Jed Jerko.
All right, he's taking the second baseman.
Two home runs off Fernandez.
There you go. Two hits in his career against Jose Fernandez, both of which
are home runs.
Been dingers. Two for six, I believe, if I read that correctly earlier. I believe he's 2 for 6 in his career against
That's
Fernandez with two bombs. He's using history.
Right.
Small sample size, but a good sample.
But I think this is where you've got to have a good pitching duel.
All right. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We'll see who wins. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Can you imagine how devastated he would have been had you chosen Jed Jerko? Because he was ready. He had a stat.
Right.
He doesn't usually have a stat. He just usually like goes, Solarte.
And actually, I should have because on his face, you could tell that he was ready.
He was very ready.
Right.
He was very ready.
Right.
That would have been great.
He had once again tipped his hand.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, more Twitter. Also, Bill, we're going to talk about your tweet the other day that ruffled some feathers around the baseball world. You used a curse word. That's how you know it was serious.
Yeah. Hey, on my tweet, I should have something up there. Somebody said that these opinions are mine and not the San Diego
Everybody knows. Believe me. Nobody thinks you represent the front
right,
office.
I know.
Don't worry about that. Don't you concern yourself with such a thing. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. Talk about Bill's trade deadline tweet that upset Buster Olney. That's next. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres a 5-3 win over the Marlins last night. Now 51-53, 12-4 in the last 16, and as close to 500 as they've been since the middle of June. Gotta keep it rolling if they want to continue to make this thing interesting. No doubt about that. We haven't really got into the trade deadline too much, and still a lot to talk about, I feel like, in the aftermath. But, Bill, as I said earlier, you lit the internet on fire with this tweet after the trade deadline the other day. We've had to edit it to take out your naughty word. But Bill tweeted, "Seems like the national writers complaining most about the Padres' lack of trades are the ones floating the most rumors about how active they'd be."
Right.
Wow. I get what you're saying, because you're right. There were a lot of national writers who seemed genuinely angry
right.
over the fact that the Padres
didn't
make any
right.
big moves. And the reality is, a lot of times, you're right, those were the guys that were saying, hey, such and such is going to happen involving the Padres. So is your point that you believe they were kind of taking it a little bit personally almost?
I do. Well, plus, a lot of those guys can't come out and say, boy, all those rumors we heard, they were wrong. They can't do that. So they take the offense and say, they should have done this, they should have done that. And I never did like floating rumors at trade deadlines, because almost all of them are wrong. None of them work out the way that you're hearing. And the other thing is, you don't know what the general managers are really thinking. Yes, they're getting offers. You might, and these guys hear, because they've got good sources, they might hear that such and such is interested in acquiring Kimbrel, but that doesn't mean that Preller is talking about moving Kimbrel. Now, if the price had been monstrously right, yeah.
That's it.
Right.
And that's the thing we've said.
Right.
David on Twitter, by the way, he made a graphic to go along with your tweet. This is pretty well done. He photoshopped a screaming baby in a suit who's got a press pass from Major League Baseball, and the text underneath says, "But I reported my sources telling me the Padres were going to make multiple big trades, but they didn't. I hate you, Preller," right, with a bunch of exclamation points. See, not bad pointer, Dave. Not bad.
I never thought, I could have been totally wrong. Preller might have wanted to really tear. I never thought that. In fact, Becky and I were talking Friday, an hour and a half before the trade deadline, about how many trades we thought they would make. Mm-hmm. And might be one. It might lead to a second one, but I don't see wholesale changes.
Well, you obviously always had Almonte for Zepchinski. You knew that.
Right.
No, I mean, everybody
right.
had that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that one was automatic.
My quick take on it is this, and it's a little bit nuanced, but bear with me. I was a little bit surprised that, like, a Kennedy or a Venable wasn't moved, because those are a couple of impending free agents. But the reality is, no disrespect to those guys, just based on whatever, you're not going to get anything crazy back in a deal for
right.
either one of those guys. It would just sort of be a, hey, let's get something, because if we don't re-sign, they could walk away for nothing. That's sort of like a standard operating procedure in baseball. But those aren't the names that people were freaking out about nationally. People started freaking out that they didn't trade Kimbrel or Ross or Cashner. And Upton, I think, is his own category, and we've talked about him enough. But I think the national reaction was, how could they not trade Kimbrel or Ross? And my response to that is, because they're both very good players who you control for more than 1 year. They weren't desperate to move either one of those guys, and if he didn't get what he wanted in the deal for those guys, why would he move them?
Right.
How many times did we say this offseason, after they made all these moves, they're not setting it up for a one-year run in 2015. They're building something here for the next couple of years. There was no desperation on A.J. Preller's part to move Craig Kimbrel or Tyson Ross, nor should there have been.
Right.
Now, if there was a great deal and they got exactly what they would have want, okay.
Then you do it.
Make
right.
the deal. If not,
right.
don't. This is really not that complicated to
And
me.
It says something to me that Preller set the price high enough that people backed off. They didn't want to get, you know, they didn't want to pay what they were going to have to pay. I have no problem with how this played out. I really do not. But a lot of people do. Well, they didn't help themselves. Well, sometimes you help yourself by not doing something.
The cliche is, you know, sometimes the best move is the one you don't make. And maybe it falls into that category. And who knows, maybe in a year we're looking back and be like, man, this really worked out terribly. But who knows? I mean, it's a little much for me, some of the national reaction. And the other thing that's getting me, and I think Jason Stark was one guy that really wrote about this, and as I'm reading it, I was getting frustrated because a lot of the writers and pundits, they're going on and on about the payroll and the financial implications of not making these moves. And I can't imagine that any of these guys have any idea what the team's payroll plans are.
Right.
Jason Stark has no idea what the Padres want their opening day payroll to be in 2016. And I think what's happening is that a lot of the people nationally maybe haven't picked up on the fact that we've probably entered a new era of Padre baseball here.
You just hit it right on the head.
They're
still looking back 5-10 years ago.
Even 3 years ago.
Even 3 years ago.
But you know what that is? That's lazy, and that's crappy.
And that's
because
old,
this is different
and
now.
And that's a new regime. And that's an old regime.
It doesn't apply.
Right.
And who knows? Look, if they pull the rug out from under everybody and they reduce the payroll by $30 million next year, I'll say it. We were wrong. But I don't see that happening.
No.
Like, that's not the direction this thing is going. And everybody nationally is sort of looking at the Padres. They have to shed this payroll. They can't afford to keep these guys. Well, yes, they can. And they are. Like, has anybody been paying attention for more? Or has anybody been paying attention in the last year? Apparently not. Right. Apparently not. I thought people were paying attention to the Padres this offseason, but there's some real lazy writing taking place out there because everybody's just sort of assuming that it's going to be business as usual for San Diego when, again, we've seen nothing but different stuff in the last however many months since A.J. Preller's come on.
Right. And can I say one other thing about Kennedy and Venable? I mean, Kennedy's really pitching well right now and loves San Diego. Venable loves playing here. I mean, these are two guys who, even though they are free agents, get under the right circumstances, could return next year.
Yes.
I mean, there's a very good chance
of course.
You could re-sign him. Kennedy loves it here, absolutely loves it here. It's close to his childhood home. He likes living here. You might be, if he continues to pitch well, which he is pitching great right now, you might be able to re-sign him as a free agent. So it's not necessarily you got to get rid of him because he's going to be a free agent.
That's it.
This is a guy you can negotiate with. And Upton, if you match any offer, you've got him back. So he's a free agent, but he's got a big question mark because if he only gets an offer for X amount of dollars, you can match it and he could return.
Congratulations, by the way, to the Kennedy family.
That's right.
That was cool the other night, by the way. Thought he was going to leave, couldn't get out of town, came back and pitched his tail off.
And what does that tell you about the guy?
Something good.
Right.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
That was very impressive that he would hustle back. Okay, he's at the airport. Realize he's not going to catch that flight, knows that Despaigne is going to start on short rest. He hustles back and says, I've got the ball. He could have just waited for the next flight or whatever. He hustled back, said, I got the ball, saw the birth of his child, took the mound and pitched. Oh, I can't say it.
No, no cursing. You've used your cursing quotient for the
pitched
week.
Very good. How
right.
about that?
There you go. Very well. Very well.
Very well. Very right. well. That's actually good. Thanks for cleaning up my grammar.
You're welcome. I can edit for you. Right. 6 days from now, Saturday night, baseball night in San Diego is back. It's an all-fan giveaway at Petco Park. Everybody who comes through the gates will receive either a Gary Templeton or Benito Santiago throwback replica jersey presented by Fox Sports San Diego. Catch the Padres and the Phillies at 5:40 and leave wearing the throwback brown and orange. Get your tickets today at Padres.com. Both Benny and Gary will be inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame that night in a special ceremony before the game. Should be a lot of fun. Take a break. Come back. More Social Hour right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
I went a little crazy back there. I was a little fired up. Twitter seems to have enjoyed it, though, so thanks for all the nice words. I'm not going to turn into the Hulk, though. Don't worry. That was one guy's tweet. I was fired up, man. It's lazy. That's what it is. I hate lazy journalism. And using the word journalism maybe isn't right because these guys, look, they're reporting, they're opining,
right.
they're columnizing. And there are plenty of things you can write and say about the Padres right now in the negative. Plenty of them. This team has not performed anywhere close to expectations. They've been a disappointment to this question. But to start ripping them like as if they had to trade Kimbrel or Ross is crazy to me. Those are two really important pieces for this team. There's no reason to disassemble the entire deal.
No.
There's just not. And it comes off as very lazy. And the writing of the guys suggesting that, well, they're not going to be able to afford all these dudes. Well, why not?
You don't know.
You don't know that.
Right.
Unless you've got somebody on record from the front office being like, hey, we need the payroll to be, you know, all this money less next year, which none of these guys do because it hasn't been said, then it's a crappy thing to write.
Plus, this ownership, not only on the field, but this ownership has put considerable money into this franchise the last couple of years.
Apparently, they haven't noticed that in Bristol,
right.
Connecticut.
The video
That's all I'm going to say.
The fixes to the stadium, upgrades.
Yeah.
They've done an awful lot. And it's like, I don't think these people have any idea of what this ownership has done.
They should pay some attention then. Maybe when
right.
they come for the All-Star game next year, they'll realize that it's not, you know, 2004 anymore.
Plus,
maybe they'll notice.
Right.
We got to go to break.
Other teams see national. We don't see a lot of those guys here.
No.
Scott Miller.
Yeah. Well, he's based here.
Right. But he's based nationally. Here. But
yeah.
we don't see. Buster doesn't come out this
no.
way. Who, by the way, I like Buster.
No, I know.
I know he took me on, but.
Well, I liked that. Right. You and Buster had a little head to head.
I thought that was
You had
great.
Your own Supercuts head to head challenge.
The funny thing was, I wasn't talking about him.
He was sticking up
right.
for his
yeah,
people.
His
That's
people.
What they do.
Right.
They're very pack oriented.
Right.
Hey, if you're looking for paradise, Maui Wowie Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Wowie locations inside the ballpark at the Park at the Park or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break, and when we return, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I've got a very serious philosophical question for you. That's next.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Bill, I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat. We've been talking about it all morning.
Okay.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Egg. That's it?
Okay. Cholula goes good on eggs, by the way. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, proud partner of the San Diego Padres.
Scrambled
back
eggs.
Tomorrow at 4 p.m. Enjoy the game.